everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show live edition. Although technically, I guess we record each of these live. So what are we talking about? But we're here with the Patreon fans. We just watched the Toxic Crusaders episode, This Spuds For You. It's suggested by Psycho Andy on Patreon. We're not watching G.I. Joe this week. We're not ready for season six to start. Now, Psycho Andy suggested that this episode would be too good for this show. I would disagree, but my name is Ray Stakanis.
I am Robert Clark Chan.
I am Gina fucking Ippolito.
And whoa, this is a show where we talk about cartoon shows of the 80s and 90s called Knowing Is Half the Podcast. That's your full intro, Robert Clark Chan.
Can I tell you a secret? Even though I derail the intro almost every time, I hate it when they don't introduce themselves on podcasts normally that I listen
to. What are you doing?
I am a self-sabotaging son of a bitch. I don't know what to say.
I also still, like, I just started listening to a podcast that I won't name on walks. And it's two white guys, and I legitimately cannot tell them apart. So I feel like every 30 seconds, and I think that that's how people feel about Chan and Ray.
All right, hold on.
Who are just Gina, tuning in.
Gonna need you to put that in the chat. Put the name of the podcast that you're watching so that the patrons can get a little secret. Sign up for the Patreon, folks. You'll learn
it'll
all sorts of things.
Life.
It's gonna be a real big letdown. Oh. And the only reason I'm even listening is because I've been like going on walks, just to get out of my house. And
there are literally a million podcasts that you could be listening to. Why would you listen to one that isn't good?
No, I mean, it's good. It's just, it's more like work related than fun related. Gotcha.
Well, you don't know about Gina, huge fan of the Tucker Carlson Fox News podcast.
Yeah.
Listens to it roughly 24 hours a day. Now, since we started this, we've added two more people who probably should get introductions. So I'm just going to introduce the entire room for the people at home. They're watching it here. They're typing in chat as we go, so we might incorporate some of their statements and words. I mean, to be fair, apparently the entire chat it says we want a full 10-minute segment each week consisting of Gina yelling at Ray, to which I would say, isn't that just the brand of the show to begin with? What are we talking about? So here in chat, we have Psycho Andy, Jason McClain, Doug Johnson, Tim Blake, Delvin Cox from the Delvin Cox Experience, Channing Sherman, and Mr. JRC One Word Long. Thank you all so much for being here. Don't talk.
Jesus Christ. Why is everybody coming in hot? Why am I the only one that's like got a modicum of diplomacy here? Okay, hold on. No, I'm going to jump on board. Hey, patrons, fuck you, all of you. Every last one of you, you're monsters and should be destroyed. How's that? Does that feel better?
Something you haven't said in private. So
I type in the chat like a civilized podcaster.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, Gina, why don't you listen to Knowing Is Half the Podcast on your walks? That sounds like a really good idea.
I don't know what that is. Is that a podcast?
I'm not familiar myself. So anyway, we just watched Toxic Crusaders, as I said before. Y'all, do you feel that that episode of a cartoon was too good for this?
Can I just say,
podcast?
Normally we record just audio and we don't get video of each other. And right. This time we're just like doing it over Zoom so we can see each other.
That's right.
I watched you arms folded, leaning as far back away from the screen as is humanly possible. And I'm pretty sure I was laughing out loud the entire time. So I was like, every time I'd look over, I'd be like, oh, are we watching the same? What's going on
How
here?
How do you always have the wrong opinion on everything?
Wait, you're saying Ray hated it, but you didn't?
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. I definitely did not hate this. I was entertained, but it's a big stretch to say that it's too good for us. I don't really think much is too good for us, but
okay, yeah. Is it good? Good? No, it's not Batman the Animated Series, but like it's a show that knows what it is, and especially for the time, you know, what was very self-aware and like it maximized what it had. I mean, it was an adult sensibility in a show that was intended for children. So it wasn't, I don't know, it didn't treat its audience like it was stupid. which
I
is
think the fact that it started out with that intro was a delightful shock to
that
me.
That was awesome.
And it was a Chuck Lorre bang. So there we go. We want to know why song. It was not
what
in the list
it?
Of bangers.
What isn't these days? I think Chuck Lorre has mastered time travel and is going back to insert his name into the credits of show, like every show ever. just to make it look like he's had a hand in everything throughout history.
Yeah, I would argue that Alf Tales did everything Toxic Crusaders did about 10 times better.
Oh my God.
For me.
What is wrong with you?
I will say I agree with Jason McLean that there was a lot of talking and exposition.
Talking.
Like for a cartoon that was basically like, here are some weird looking things fighting crime, it was a lot of like monologuing and like if I was judging that script just on looking at it alone, I would tell the writer, like, you got to get rid of like half this dialogue.
See, the thing is, you add extra talking so you don't have to animate as much. I assume that that's the angle they were going for.
We're three weird-ass looking people who do nothing but talk into a microphone. How are you down on the Toxic Crusaders, which is exactly that?
Wait, which three people, Chan? There's a lot of people in this room you could be referring to.
I think it's safe to say that Gina's the weirdest looking one here.
It's true.
Now, there was a post, I think, was it Crispy Bacon posted, of a happy dog, like an angry cat, and then some animal I've never conceived of before. And then, Chan, you said this is an exact representation of this show.
They were illustrating something that we said in the podcast.
That doesn't mean I know what we're talking about. Just because I say
literally
things
said,
doesn't mean I can be held responsible
dog,
for them.
Or Gina said, you're a dog, I'm a grumpy cat, and Gina was an aardvark, and that was the three pictures. Ray.
This makes sense, though, because Ray doesn't listen to women, so...
Fair.
It makes sense that he didn't know what was going on.
How dare you? Listen, you know how many podcasts I do, Robert Clark Chan? I can't be held responsible for remembering what I say.
And again, he remembers things from those podcasts because those are only hosted by men. So that's this tracks.
This would be a good time to mention I'm currently on the Delvin Cox Experience show. If you want to go download the newest episode of Delvin Cox Experience,
did you
by
just
the
drag
way, a guy.
Delvin under the bus with you?
Oh, Delvin's coming straight with me.
You just dragged him along for the ride.
Come here, Delvin.
He wanted the heat off of himself, and he did it the wrong way.
Come on, Delvin Cox. Me and you were going underbus exploring. Let's do this.
Look, a fun fact is that I wouldn't be on this podcast if not for Robert Clark Chan forcing Ray to.
Whoa, wait a minute. That is
Chan is backing me up. You can't see it, but he was nodding his head.
No, listen, you're only half right. Now the thing was, I talked to Robert. No, this is knowing is half the podcast history we're going to get into here. I was talking with Robert Clark Chan about doing a show, and I said, we're going to do G.I. Joe. Let's watch this episode. And it was the episode where Sergeant Slaughter gets teleported back to ancient Greece by aliens. And I say, do you think this is a show that could work? And he watched it and said, yes, this is definitely a show weird enough. And I said, good. We need a not man to be the third host. We need a female.
And then Ray responded, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, that's what I said.
The entire world is only made up of men.
My goodness.
And then Chan had to explain that some of them weren't, but like Ray was clearly blocking them from his brain.
And Chan suggested TV's Gina Ippolito, who I had never met before. And
back
I
when
said,
she was just Stages Gina Ippolito.
She was the Pack Theater Stages Gina Ippolito.
Stages and Wiki Feet's Gina Ippolito.
And to be fair, you've really improved yourself a lot, Gina, since we started this show. I think that's a fair statement.
Arguable.
And so Gina came by. I said, great. You know, if you vouch for Gina, I will give Gina a look at the show. And then you came in and then we met. And then, like, I'm not even kidding. 2 minutes after we said hello, you walked in the door. We sat down and just started podcasting. And then Gina came out and brought her special kind of magic. And here we are 26 years later. Still doing it.
That was back when we could get to a podcast in 2 minutes instead of you fuckers now being like, oh, I got kids. Oh, I got this is going on. Oh, no, we can't. It's 45 minutes of getting set up and getting my water and getting my notebook.
But you say that like it's a bad thing. I mean, it is, but you're saying it like it is. Let's talk about Toxic Crusaders. It opens, this is obviously pulled from a DVD home video of the Toxic Crusaders, hosted by Lloyd Kaufman, Uncle Lloydie, as he calls himself, one of the heroes of Troma. He's the guy who does, like, one of the two people who did all the Troma stuff. I don't remember if he was the director. They were all involved in all the process. But he made such great movies as The Toxic Avenger, Teenage Cat Girls in Heat, Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD, and oh god, there's and like 150 other Troma movies, each made for as much as a pack of cigarettes. These are also magical movies from when I was a kid, in middle school, high school, because these are the Troma movies are the ones that gave me a love of film. That
I'd like to just point out that Psycho Andy is calling you two out because we used to offer a lot more content, a lot more bang for the buck.
Yeah, and
instead of Toxic Avengers, we used to get a G.I. Joe episode, a Know Your Joe, and a Patreon non-G.I. Joe cartoon every week. Now you boys just couldn't keep it up.
Here's the deal. When you get older, Gina, you're just not able to keep it up as long.
I wouldn't know. I don't date anyone over 27.
I mean, you're not wrong, and you're also not wrong.
So I'm sorry, I'm just staring at Jason McClane's cat's butthole. Again, sign up for that Patreon. It's quality. Are we going to talk about the goddamn cartoon? Because there's like
I'm trying to
left in the podcast.
I'm trying to. So Lloyd Kaufman intros the show by talking about evil corporations. And I'm just having a good time with it because, you know, he's probably, if I remember right, he's some old, like, libertarian dude, you know. So it's like, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, Chan, you tell me. But that's how he always struck me.
I don't know. All I know is
complaining about evil corporations.
Point, I love this already, which is not something that comes up very often in my notes for the show.
Wait, you're saying during the intro, before we're even into the cartoon, you loved it already?
Yeah.
I agree. This guy was like, he was just in a documentary about Blockbuster, I think, that I watched on a plane that was like very weird and entertaining.
The thing that really struck me, though, is as he's doing his monologue, there's a mugshot of O.J. Simpson hanging on the wall behind him, which I don't know how appropriate that is, especially given that he would have recorded it far after like the mid and early 90s when it would have been a cultural thing.
Wait, you think it's not fair to O.J. Simpson? What's your beef here?
You know, why don't we as a people come together and forgive O.J.? Look, I want to be able to watch a Naked Gun movie again, Gina.
This tracks. I think that when O.J. Simpson was caught, Ray said, "Oh, he killed a man." And then someone said, "There was also a woman there." And then Ray said, "I don't know what that is."
Welcome to the theme of the episode. I hope you all. I was in college when the O.J. Simpson verdict happened. I remember I lived in the Jock Hall, the one that all the athletes and all of the very large men who worked out all the time lived in. I don't know how I ended up in there as a freshman, but there we are. And I remember walking through the hall to Delvin Cox. Tell me about it. I am old. And I remember like the verdict was just coming out and every room door was open in this dorm and they each one had like 9 guys in it. There were I don't know how we got so many people in this building. They weren't all supposed to be there, but every single room was flooded. And I walked into a room with people I didn't know who were all large, muscular men. And we were all watching the thing come in. And then when they said not guilty, the entire room erupted as the entire hall did with joy. And there was the biggest cheer for him getting away with murder of a dude. And Gina claims someone else. I'm not following. I never remember feeling a more surreal moment surrounded by meatheads, super happy about a guy getting away with murdering. I don't know what that has to do with the Toxic Crusaders, but it somehow fits.
I mean, no, it fits into the show because the show is mostly talking about your experiences that you later learn were homoerotic experiences.
True.
So that fits.
Yeah.
Bunch of big muscular men, 9 in a room, all sitting around cheering.
Chan, I mean, look, I mean, we're getting some deep truths here.
That was not my experience when O.J. Simpson got off. That was not.
What was your experience, Gina?
What was your experience when O.J. got off?
Let me tell you, I was covered from head to toe.
Yeah, he seems like the sort.
Oh, please. He's way too old.
not back then, dude.
He wasn't 27 back then, I'm going to tell you that. My point is, Toxic Crusaders. So the intro. Now, the intro, if I'm reading the intro correctly, is he was an incel who couldn't get girls, so he fell into a vat of toxic waste outside of his restaurant that just happened to be there. He got real buff and toxic, and now everyone wants to fuck. Is that the intro? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Is your personal origin story?
Well, nobody wanted to fuck. What are we talking about right now?
What you hope your personal origin story will be.
That's my future origin story, Gina Hippolyte. How dare you?
I feel like I might have said this before we were recording, but the original Toxic Avenger, which it's always interesting to me that they changed it from Avenger to Crusader. I'm guessing that they did some polling and people probably said like, ooh, Avengers sounds like mean, but Crusader sounds good. Or they ran into legal problems with the Marvel universe.
The actual Avengers.
But the original Toxic Avenger filmed in Booton, New Jersey, right next to my very small town of Booton Township, New Jersey, which was a very big point of pride for anyone in or near Booton or Booton Township. To this very day, actually, like on their Instagram page, people will frequently be like, oh shit, look where I am. I'm standing right by this building where the Toxic Avenger was shot.
I do remember when you did that library panel, and on the panel with you, the one hosting and moderating was someone dressed up in a Toxic Avenger outfit. It seemed kind of odd.
Oh, I wish.
More sense now.
People in chat want to know, aren't all incels toxic? Channing Sherman wants to know. Delvin Cox claims he's never met an incel. Delvin, I've heard your show. I can promise you have.
I was going to say, I guarantee you have. Sometimes they hide. They frequently hide when other men are around.
That's the deal.
But us ladies can ID them pretty quick.
And Booton Township is on the map for two things: Gina Ippolito and looking like it belongs in a toxic wilderness.
Apparently, it says it on their sign as you enter. It's like, welcome to Booton Township, home of Gina Ippolito and toxic incels.
Yo, that's all you need, really.
So moving forward, we open with a yodeling song, which I thought was interesting. And none of these people has jobs. So I don't know how they've been getting along with this entire time, but they don't make a lot of money crime fighting. Sure. And so each of them, that's the conceit of this episode, is each of them is going to get a job. Oh, according to Psycho Andy, they live in a dump, literally. But yeah. Don't you still have to pay for that? I was watching a YouTube video that said, here's how you can live on no money at all. Buy a house and rent out most of it. Well, see, the problem with that is if you don't have money, you can't buy a house to rent it out. That's the thing I learned about this economy.
Right. We glossed over the fact that someone brought up that you clearly have no idea what libertarians are.
Oh, that's outrageous. They are the people that work in the Libertaria to get me books and using the card catalog.
Because you apparently think it means corporations when really it means government.
No, that's the thing. That's what made it seem weird to me is I thought that Lloyd Kaufman was one of these big old libertarian, kind of these Penn Jillette guys.
And he didn't say anything that would indicate otherwise.
And well, that's the thing is he's angry, but you can be a libertarian and still be angry about bigger corporations that are bigger than you. That's just being salty about the system that you support. I think it fits. And maybe I'm totally wrong about Lloyd Kaufman, too. I mean, that's also on the table.
there's let's just agree that Ray is probably wrong about a lot of stuff. So safe.
Yeah. Hashtag Ray is right is the hashtag Gina. So I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been wrong. Let's continue forward. Oh, wait, that's the other show. My point is that we cut over to Dr. Killamov, great name, and he's winning this game show that he's watching, and he says, you know, if I wasn't evil, I would be killing it on game shows. And I'm like, you know, I saw that Holzhauer guy. I think you can be evil and kill it on a game show.
Yeah, I don't know why they're mutually exclusive.
It seems pretty normal to me. I've seen The Chase. I've seen when they have like 27 questions banked and then in 2 minutes, Holzhauer destroys them. I don't know. You guys don't watch The Chase, obviously. Come on, you people. The Chase. Get into it. It's popcorn television. It's a game show. Makes you smart. It's how you know things.
This is all you watch because you can't handle shows with a narrative.
Yes. Moving forward, we also meet up with Dr. Bender, who's working on it. This is the plot of the episode. Dr. Bender, not voiced by John DiMaggio. Dr. Bender is working on a Magoop 82, which is a formula that when it's eaten by rats or people, turns them into nearsighted old people.
Yeah,
that's the plan.
I think this is where Gwyneth Paltrow got the name for Goop. She was watching the Toxic Crusaders cartoon and said, that's something that I can market. Let's just drop the Mick because McDonald's will sue us.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Granted, there's no Gina, Mick, it's
that's
Mugoop.
Very racist to say drop the Mick. That is... it's almost St. Patrick's Day, for God's sake.
You can't be
what
racist
is wrong
against Irish people. I'm Italian. They're practically the same thing.
Dude, do you want to tell her?
Okay.
Do you want to tell her about 100 years ago in this country? Like
No one screen grab this and send it to Child Protective Services.
So Channing Sherman wants us to know in chat, Ray is sexist and Gina is racist. And Chan hates everybody.
Yeah, he's...
It's fair.
I don't like that because anybody who says they're an equal opportunity offender is not. They're only sexist and racist, and it's a red flag. That's how you know.
No, that's the thing I've noticed about these equal opportunity offenders. It's always just like, you know, I don't think this group of people deserves to live. I don't think these people should get a chance to vote. And have you seen white people dance? It's sort of like it's not quite
but
the same
have you?
Thing.
It's insane.
But I definitely think they should be making all the laws. That's all I'm trying to say. I'm equal opportunity. I get them all. Like, well.
There's some famous voices in this cartoon, which was unexpected. I feel like there's always famous voices in cartoons that I'm like, oh shit. But this one was like, oh shit.
Do you have some names for
us,
Gina?
I guess since Chuck Lorre was attached.
This is pre like Chuck Lorre, Lord of All. This is back when he was just doing theme songs.
I'm looking it up here.
Yeah, but they knew because he traveled back in time and he said to like Michael J. Pollard and a couple of other people, like, hey, be in this cartoon. It'll really make your career take off.
Who's
All right, someday so you'll have a small role in the movie Scrooge.
it's a lot of kind of a who's who of voice actors. You got Greg Berger, you got Susan Blue, Paul Elding, you know, a whole lot of this crew. Kath Soucie is in there. These are all a whole bunch of people that would be well known to animation historians.
Ray is reading names off of a Wikipedia page and pretending he knows who they are.
I know who like three of those four people are. The fourth name was familiar. So thank you, TV's Gina Ippolito. How dare you? Okay. So they all got to get jobs. Let's talk about some of the jobs that these people got. The lady with the accordion who's hot but can't see. That's her mutant power. She is working as a Salvation Army beggar, playing music as part of a three-piece band outside of an abandoned Best Buy, which I
Are
thought
you
was an interesting.
That there are job titles. Those people that stand outside of
well, that was the question.
Army
I
are that's, beggars.
That's the question I wrote here. Well, yes. First off, they're fucking beggars. Start there. is that a job? Do you get paid for that? Like,
yeah,
do you get paid more than you bring in? That seems outrageous to me.
That was like back when those people could still make money. Like you could still make money for the Salvation Army. I think nowadays people don't carry cash and
nobody does that. I mean, like that's and there's three of them for one kettle. That seems wildly inefficient. And also, I must also point out the big box store behind them seemed completely abandoned. I don't think their location was very good. There it is. Toxic Avenger. He becomes an ice cream man. Who throws ice cream at children or something? It was a little... I couldn't quite follow this very well at all.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Toxic Crusaders.
The Toxic Crusaders have two new members. Junkyard, a mutation with a taste for doggy bones, and Headbanger, half mad scientist, half party animal. They've joined to keep Dr. Killamoff and Psycho, his cybernetic sidekick with a bionic brain, from polluting and conquering the Earth. Also, because good guys get the babes.
You don't have to be toxic to be popular, but it helps.
Toxic Crusaders, they're gross,
but they still get girls.
Hideously deformed action figures from Playmates.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Let's see here. The mom, Toxic's mom, she sells vacuum cleaners door to door.
Toxic's
and is very
mom
good at it. She did a very good job.
Why is Toxic's mom isn't... She's not. She's like the only one that's sort of non-toxic.
I would argue they're all toxic in one way or another.
So like he didn't get in this alternate world. He also didn't get toxicified from her vagina.
No, wait, he didn't.
Yvonne was also a normal person.
Yeah, he became toxic later.
Yeah, his mom was just like a normal, like they played her sort of like a New York nebbishy Jewish woman, like Costanza's mom.
Yeah.
But she's not mutated. I guess the all male writers room that clearly wrote this were like, is it bad if we draw in some lady mutants? And someone said, ugh, lady mutants. Who do they fuck in their spare time? And then they were like, just put in like a hot one and sort of a nebbishy mom character, but don't mutate them in any way.
No, that'd be weird. Now, the chat room is going nuts right now because Yvonne is nearsighted, the lady, and that makes her a mutant. However, it's also being argued by Psycho Andy that nearsighted is normal. I want to say that no, being farsighted is normal. If you're nearsighted, you're a monster.
I'm horrendously nearsighted and also legally blind, so I guess my dating options just opened up to sweet, sweet mutants.
Gina, you've never dated a mutant before.
Yeah, I feel like I got a receipts. Solid... 60% of the people in this chat right now qualify for you.
Farsighted. It's all about being farsighted. Those are the cool kids sitting in the back of the room. You know
far-sighted.
Why? Because we can see the front.
Who the hell is
Thank
farsighted?
You.
That's like this barely
guy.
A thing.
This guy right here. That's right. You
Ridiculous.
Know why? Because I don't need to read. That's why.
Ridiculous.
Real quick, since I've been running around trying to keep my child from screaming into this microphone.
That's been exciting.
I bought him off with fruit snacks. We'll see how long that lasts. But you skipped over the Elvis Mouse, which I thought was pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, I liked Elvis Mouse.
Elvis Mouse. Now, why did he become an Elvis Mouse? I don't know. It's a gag.
No, I don't know. It was just...
He
didn't become an Elvis Mouse, right? He became an old... But he was already
an Elvis. No, he was a mouse
for 81.
Became an Elvis Mouse.
Was an Elvis Mouse.
Then became an old.
Oh. Yeah.
Yvonne was singing about big butts, which I didn't think was allowed in 1991, but you know, there you go.
Well, that's how you know she does not lie.
I don't think that's how that
you
works.
You think it wasn't allowed in kids' cartoons or just in general in the world we lived in?
In the world we lived in.
The first one was Magoop 81. There we go. Thank you, Psycho Andy, for clearing this up for us. Thankfully, we have a Toxic Crusaders historian in the chat room with us.
I mean, or you could just watch the episode. You could just watch it and
Chan,
see the things that happen and remember them for 20 minutes.
You're asking me way too much right now.
I know that I am.
Moving forward, because I'm going to keep this zipping along, because Gina wouldn't stop not talking about other things. Earlier, they go to a somehow. I didn't really understand this because there's a lot of this show, this episode of this program
is
really
this the problem. You watch a 20 minute cartoon, you're like, that was like 3 hours. Jesus Christ, I can't remember anything.
This is a show that does not sit in the moment at all. This is a moment that goes zip, 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 A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and it just keeps banging through everything. Mm-hmm. So you don't have time to actually like feel comfortable with what's happening before they moved on to two more things.
So you're saying you could not follow this children's cartoon?
I was able to follow it.
Is your main gripe?
I had to let a lot of stuff go that I just had to accept I didn't understand. Like, why Toxic Avenger is there talking to his girlfriend and suddenly he starts shaking and goes, oh, we got to go to the potato farm. I feel like we got to go to the potato. It's like, what? And then they're the potato farm. They don't stop to really dwell in this moment. It just happens.
So see, here's the thing. Chan doesn't enjoy cartoons because he thinks like if he doesn't enjoy something, it means like, oh, it relied too heavily on puns or it was like this. I don't enjoy things when they're poorly written from a story standpoint. Ray doesn't enjoy things when he doesn't understand them and is made to feel stupid.
It's fair.
So this all tracks.
It is such a low bar, though. Like, what can slip under that bar?
Yeah, Legion. I mean, you would think that this cartoon could slip under the bar of things that Ray understands, but clearly we overestimated him.
No, and the people's reactions to the situations they're in often make no sense at all. No, I can appreciate cartoon logic and what have you.
Can
but
you?
Like, you though?
We yeah. go, yes, yes, I can. Because we have Dr. Bender, who there was a surfing telegram guy, sure, and then they end up both in the atom splicing machine. Atom smash machine. They get mashed into one body together. So they spend about 3 seconds running around being like, oh no, oh no, oh, this is crazy, oh no. And then he immediately stops and goes, hey, my thing works. Anyway, I'm perfectly comfortable in this body now. And it's jarring. That's all I'm trying to say. The rhythm of this show is way off. It's way off.
You mean like that Naked Gun? Just too many jokes just
yep.
coming at you.
Not
why would
at all.
Why do they keep making the jokes? Can't they stop and just sit in them for a little while?
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Anyway, so moving forward, he's okay. It's apparently explained in previous episodes we didn't watch, Chan. I blame you.
This
even though Psycho
two,
Andy gave us the episode.
Man.
It doesn't matter. he goes to the potato farm. They're spraying the Magoop 82 on the potato crop. So that way everyone will be... I don't know what the end goal of this is either. Like, what's the point of this? This is a, you know, I look at, listen, Psycho Andy, I look at villains and I look at their motivations and I say, how does this get them to where they want to go? And spraying like a handful of people at one fast food restaurant with this is not going to get any villain where he needs to go. That's all I'm trying to say. You can say they explained it in the episode. It does not matter. This does not play. This does not work.
This is what I'm glad that our patrons are seeing what Chan and I deal with on a weekly basis.
You act like I edit out me sounding stupid in every episode. I clearly do not.
Yeah, but it's easier to listen to in a passive way than like really be in the room while you're being an idiot.
I mean, you're not wrong. Okay, so now we
also,
have.
Also, I do feel
yes.
better. That you hate this because that means that I am correct, that this is a good cartoon. It is very enjoyable.
I just can't believe you always feel the opposite of what I do. I would think at some point we'd find the common ground. I thought it was going to be Alf Tales, and then you're just like, too many jokes, too many puns. I'm just like, what is happening right now? And then we get to this episode, and I go, this shit is rhythmically all over the place. They're jumping around way too much. It's going way too fast for what it is. And here's Chan. Oh, it's so many jokes and puns. Why don't you like it? It's like, Chan, pick a side of the fence and sit on it. Thank you.
One bite.
Here's the thing.
Thank you.
You can, I also feel good because oftentimes, yes, I will be contrary and someone will say something and I'll immediately jump to the opposite just because it's in my DNA. But this time I could watch real time as I was actively enjoying it and I saw you just hating and I was like, oh, okay, so it's not me. It's not me this time.
Oh, it's my turn to like something. It's so rare on this show.
Real quick, I'm going to put in this drop because it did make me very happy.
Yeah.
You know what you need?
Good luck kiss?
A battle cry.
I do?
Something to yell before you do battle that'll strike fear in the hearts of your enemies. Something like, it's clobbering time or hi-ho, silver!
Wait, I got it.
I hope I don't get hurt!
That was pretty funny. I like that bit.
That is beautiful. And it is, yeah, like makes fun of the superhero concept and heroes in general. And that would be my battle cry, too, if I were a superhero. So
can I just say for all the people at home that are in the room right now, I wasn't sure if Egon was wearing pants or not. So when he stood up, I started getting very, very nervous that we were about to break 27 international laws. Thankfully, Yeah, thank you. I'm not the only one that felt that way.
Yeah.
So when he stood up,
I've been averting my eyes the whole time.
When he stood up, I went, and then thankfully he was wearing pants or shorts, so we're in a good place.
Or underwear, we can't really tell. Let's be honest, I don't really need to dwell
on it at all. we're going to cut to the fast food restaurant now. Big Nose Guy is now working in the restaurant, and it's called Burpo.
His name is Burpo Fries.
Who cares? I heard Nozone. I heard the Nozone Conspiracy, one of my favorite G.I. Joe Deke era episodes, the one that we watched way before we watched Deke era and then couldn't figure it out. Anyway, we got two versions of that that you can check out at your leisure on the Patreon Super Secret Vault. My point is, he's on the staff. They go to the restaurant. They use the potatoes of the crop, and so people they say what I love about this is they do a good bit here of we told the staff not to touch it. It's special, so the staff ate it immediately. And I said, having worked in restaurants a long time, that is accurate.
That checks out.
That is fully accurate to what's going on right now. And then some random fighting happens, and just this is where it starts really losing the needle and starts going all over the place. We end up in the lab, which is underneath the fast food restaurant. Toxic Avenger gets thrown into the Atom Smasher. They turn it on and nothing happens.
He's a GD superhero, Ray. What do you want?
Okay. Well, I thought you'd have to be in there with somebody else, so I wasn't expecting anything to happen.
It's an Atom Smasher. It's not intended to meld two people together. That was an accident, as these things happen.
It clearly seems like that's what it does. It smashes the atoms together, and you end up with a half man, half other man.
I feel like someday when Ray dies, someone's going to dissect his brain and realize it's like really messed up from CTE or something. And then like everyone's going to go back and be like, oh my God, his podcasting co-hosts are monsters. How could they have made fun of this poor man who clearly has something wrong with him?
Gina, don't worry about it, because after the Chris Benoit thing went down, nobody went back and was like, oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin, how could you be so mean to Chris Benoit like that?
That's just a good point.
Yeah, that's on him. That's on him.
It's all going to get scrubbed after I go on the double homicide.
Yeah, this podcast will never make it onto the WWE Network, which is a shame, because they got a lot of money to blow.
And like any other podcast that make reference of me will then have to like bleep out my name and any references to me. It's going to be crazy.
Yep.
Sorry, Delvin Cox. It's already happening. Okay. So now we move on. We're back at the restaurant again. The Burpo Fries. They shout out, nobody eat the Burpo Fries. They're going to turn you old and nearsighted. And the people are like, hey, go F yourself. And then they eat the fries anyway.
This is so obviously, like when you tell Americans, like, hey, don't eat this thing, it's bad for you. They're like, go fuck yourself. Who cares? It's bad for me. So, like, clearly what you should yell at that point is, don't eat the fries. Someone farted on them.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, if someone's telling me, like, hey, don't eat bacon. Because it's bad for you. It'll eventually, like, it'll shorten your lifespan. Everyone is going to be like, yeah, shut up, dude. But if someone's like, hey, the chef just, like, put a pube on that bacon, no one is eating that bacon.
It's a great point. You know, that's the thing I always notice is if you're ever like at a thing and say, hey, man, this tastes really good, you should try some. The person will always be like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I trust you. But if you say, this tastes like shit, try some. They're immediately like, oh, yeah, I'd love to. Oh, it's really bad. It's like, well, then what were you worried about the first time? Because it was, you will eat it if I say it's bad.
This is
not
absolutely,
trust me if I say it is good.
Like, part of the reason why I love this, honestly, is because It's the whole vaccine conversation. Like, people are like, hey, this is healthy for you. Like, fuck you, man. So it's still relevant in a way that many cartoons are not.
Chan, that's my favorite character voice you've ever done on the show. I just want you to know that.
You know what? I'm a man of 1,000 voices. I was up to replace John DiMaggio in Futurama.
I know you were. Yeah.
You know, then he signed a deal, whatever. I don't know.
Man, who could see that coming, right? Who could believe that that Bender would get signed before production would start, a mere days after it was a controversy?
Hey, more
power
to him, man.
Who could have possibly seen that one coming?
He's getting more money, and I hope the rest of the cast are too.
I mean, I believe that is part of the deal, yes. But, like, you know, hashtag pay Bender. What are we talking about right now? And pay Dr. Bender, the man in this episode of this program. Transition time. I got places to be. Nobody can believe that Toxic Avenger has a girlfriend, which I get. Because I tell people I'm married and no one believes me.
You know what that? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to be so agreeable.
I think Melissa tells people she's married to you and they also can't believe it. So it goes both ways.
And they're like, are you being blackmailed? Do you need
blink twice if you need help?
Are you being trafficked somehow?
The thing is, I think nobody believes it for either side of us for the same reason, and I don't think that's good at all. You know, Gina sends like messages to Melissa all the time, being like, "You know, he has CTE, right?" Like, here's this Chris Benoit documentary. I think you should see.
Her response is always like, "Do you think I could deal with him if he didn't? Then I would have to actually have conversations with the man."
Boy, this all tracks. This all makes a lot of sense. Okay, we find out through all of this that Pepper somehow is the antidote. Chan, you're the science jerk.
Yep.
How does the science on this work? Why does Pepper turn this substance that turns you into a nearsighted old person into bubblegum?
I mean, clearly the physics of this universe are different, as an atom smasher in our reality does not turn two people into one person. So I'm just going to say that the atomic weight of carbon is different valence, covalent bond. Pepper, yeah.
Well, thank you for clearing that up. Okay, so they go to spray Pepper. Okay, they're going to spray the fields with the Magoo. And so they're like, okay, no zone, big nose guy. That's for you, Psycho Andy. I said his name, goddammit. Hope you're happy with yourself. They say, inhale all this Pepper and then sneeze it all over the fields and the gas as we're dropping it. And this will save the day. So he does. And it does. But according to Psycho Andy, no zone never inhaled. You know what, New York Times? You don't need to fact check everything. I'm just trying to say.
But also, this is how COVID works. Because if, like, you know, sometimes people hold their breath, but they still get COVID. So Pepper is COVID.
And they save it. They save the world from COVID right there. And it was supposed to happen in 91 as a result of Burpo potatoes. And it ended up not happening as a result of the heroic Pepper sneeze of No Zone from the Toxic Crusaders. That's a thing. So then we cut back to Bender wants to join the Toxic Crusaders. Now, first off, he has a job, seemingly owns an entire restaurant. I got to believe that's good for the finances of the team and could give them jobs because he's already given one of them a job. But then I really appreciated that he says, "My name is Bender. The other guy's name is Fender. We need to come up with a one-word name for ourselves." And I'm laughing hysterically, being like, "Oh, all right." And then they go. What was it? Head Ranger.
And you didn't understand that was the joke.
Headbanger. Head I can't Ranger. Read my own writing. Thank you, Psycho Andy. He says Headbanger, and I laughed. I did laugh out loud for that because
good.
Because I was like, "Well, Fender Bender was right."
They
there,
hit their heads together. Headbanger. That's what you laughed at, Ray.
I'll be honest. No, I laughed at the name switch because they set me up to think one thing, obviously, and then changed it. See, Chan, that's what comedy is. It's presenting one outcome, but then giving another.
Why are we doing this podcast? Because we are presenting the idea that you are an idiot. And every week, still doesn't change. We don't make the switch. Where's the turn and the joke?
Hey, I got something extremely right that you two didn't know like a week ago. So
he's going to cling to it for the rest of his life.
6 years.
I still have the banner. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be tattered and I'm still going to be hanging it behind me.
He's going to be at the nursing home and he's going to be saying, I was on a podcast. And then they're going to say, "Sure you were, Mr. Cicanus. I got a thing right when Gina and Chan, we told you, Mr. Cicanus, Gina and Chan don't want to return your phone calls anymore. They're my best friends."
The sad part about all of this is the people telling me that are Gina and Chan. So that's the hard part of this whole conversation. And then they're going to market Magoop 83, which is bubblegum, and they put all their pictures on the banner, and I don't think they understand marketing. I'll put it out there.
Oh, you're telling me that you wouldn't buy this gum? This was, remember, this was in an age when people went to see the Garbage Pail Kids movie and they bought Garbage Pail Kids, which had gum in it. So I actually disagree. I think this is brilliant marketing. Somehow any sexy lady can sell gum, Ray. It's what sexy ladies are known for.
I mean, look at the Double Mint Twins. Am I right?
But it takes a real marketing genius to say, no, we're using mutants. We're going to stand out.
Oh, no. Channing Sherman in chat wants you to know that Gina and Chan will get power of attorney over me someday, which also holds up. That somehow tracks.
It's a terrifying prospect for everyone involved.
What's that thing that Britney Spears just got out from? That's going to be what I'm going to have with
conservatorship.
That's the thing.
There's a 100% chance that your wife has written it into her will that when she dies, we're going to get power of attorney.
Yeah, it's going to be her revenge on us.
You took him away for all those podcasting moments. I should be thanking you. Instead, I'm forcing him onto you more. Oh, my goodness. And that is Toxic Crusaders.
Oh, my God. Hashtag free Ray, says Channing Sherman. And that must replace hashtag awkward allies or hashtag Ray is something. I don't remember what the current one is, but free Ray is much better.
I like them all. I think every hashtag involving my name is stellar. And I appreciate all of the attention that delicious hashtags give to me. Can you eat hashtags?
Sure, you can eat anything.
I'm thinking of hot dogs now, and now I'm just hungry.
Delicious.
And so that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. You can go to patreon.com/knowingishalfthepodcast or facebook.com/knowingishalfthepodcast. And you can do all the things. You can be part of our next live show. Thank you to everybody, Psycho Andy, Jason, Doug, Tim Blake, Delvin Cox, Channing Sherman, and JRC. Thank you so much for being a part of the show with us today. I think we want to try to do more of these as long as I'm stuck working from home on Wednesdays.
We got to figure out how to streamline the process and never happen. Make it so there's that shirtless children and Ray getting up every 30 seconds because he forgot something.
Do we need shirtless Ray? Is that what I hear you saying? Am I need to just make this? You can also find us on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast. I've never seen an entire Zoom room turn their heads away from the screen all en masse so quickly before. That was something.
They're not going to watch my screen because there might be a naked child. They're not going to watch your screen because there might be a naked child. Gina, like, I don't know that a 26-year-old man is considered a child, but you know, like maybe might, like a baby
someone
face.
Might be just all of a sudden we could see, you know, like some guy wearing like a 24-year-old 6'8" guy wearing a diaper just like come stumbling from that door behind her and she has to like quietly go put him in a bear trap or something, you know. This is all viable. This is all things that could happen.
Yep.
In the meantime, I have places to go. I got a meeting I'm supposed to be in 5 minutes ago. So thank you to everybody. You can hit us up on Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast. But individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And we will do this again soon. Maybe we'll do another Find Your Fate. And maybe we'll even do that TV wrestling book with the AE Doubleback people someday.
Someday.
I would like to do that on a Wednesday afternoon someday and just invite our patrons anyway and just have fun with it. Why not? And that way, Gina doesn't have to worry about it.
Wait, am I involved in this or no?
If you want to be, but like if I say you don't have to be, that generally means you're not going to be here. All right. Bye, Egon. We'll see you guys later. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for coming.
Bye.
Toxic Crusaders. Toxic Crusaders. I had no friends, no girls that hugged me till I got radioactive ugly.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, "Give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win," or "I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics." On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it, and we do it all over breakfast, or should I say Breakfast? Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.